Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Or did you have a good New Year's? I stayed up till midnight. That's been like 10 years. What? Well, I'll tell you later about why. Maybe I'll tell you later about why. I stayed up till midnight. It was great. I stayed up till midnight two nights in a row, and then I got a little sick. So, you know, it's just too hard to stay up till midnight my age, I guess. That's the thing. We are so excited to bring to you guys this winter series that we're going to be talking about Psalm 23. What do you know about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. It's a shepherd's psalm. That's exactly right. And so we're going to actually talk about the sheep and the shepherd. And I'm going to do an introduction to it today, and then we're going to go through it line by line. And some of you are going to probably memorize by the end. You're going to memorize the whole chapter, the Lord's Psalm 23. Who wants to do that with me? Let's do that. Yes. Okay. $100 for anybody. That's not true. I'm not going to give you. The thing about a sheep, shepherd and sheep, though, you guys, is that it is a significant metaphor in our life, but we don't get it. We don't get it in our urban context. Like, I grew up in Oakland. I didn't see a sheep. I'm positive until I went to school in Davis, where there were plenty of sheep. But in our modern, technologically oriented, our world, this isn't how we roll. We don't think about sheep. We don't think about sheep and shepherds. And so we miss one of the most significant, I think we scratched the surface of one of the most significant metaphors in Scripture about who God is and who we are. Because it's hard for us to get our heads around soil and grapes and vineyards. Well, vineyards, some of you guys. Sheep and shepherds, like, we kind of miss it in our world. In fact, when I was in Oakland, I was a youth pastor in Oakland, and I had a small group of guys that met on Monday afternoons after school. I'd pick them up from school, and these guys were from Oakland. And we would go to the church in Oakland. I worked at First Covenant Church in Oakland. We met in this little prayer room that the pastor had off the side of the sanctuary, which was kind of a cool idea, that he had this little place that he could go before he came out. And it was just this little, had a kneeling bench. And one of the things it had in there is it had a picture of Jesus holding a lamb, a little sheep. You know those pictures, right? This is kind of, it was a painting. It was kind of fuzzy and kind of indistinct. And it was just long-haired Jesus, full Caucasian white Jesus, right? With the long hair and the piercing blue eyes and a little lamb. We're doing Bible study one day in there, and I finally just said to the guys, I'm like, so, all right, so we just did Bible study. And I go, so you guys, you got any questions? And one of the guys like, yeah, I got a question. And I go, what? And he nods at the picture. And he goes, who's the chick with the dog? Yeah, we're not so good at these rural metaphors. It's not really where we roll. But it is a significant metaphor because it tells us who God is, the shepherd, and who we are, the sheep. And it's used all over Scripture, and we don't want to miss it. And this is why, because sheep at that time flourished and thrived or struggled and suffered depending on who the shepherd was. Does that not preach? And so that is why we're going to study sheep and shepherd, and we're going to talk about it. And the biblical picture is that God is a good shepherd. We're going to do a little bit of a survey of this. The first time that this phrase was used, that God was the shepherd, is all the way back in Genesis. It's Genesis 48, and it's when Israel, or Jacob, was blessing his son Joseph and Joseph's kids, so his grandkids. And in this blessing, he mentions this idea of of God being his shepherd. Look at Genesis 48 with me. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the one who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. By the way, I just love this. His focus was on the goodness and the faithfulness and the strength of God as the shepherd on our behalf. This was actually not uncommon. non-biblical kings were seen, Egyptian kings were seen in reference to themselves as shepherds. That's how significant the metaphor was, that sheep needed to be cared for in order to thrive. And so a king, a good king, was one who would shepherd them into fruitful pastures, or, see, I don't even know the language, like grassy past, like I don't even know. But a good king would get them there. But do you just love this text? May the God, this is an aside, by the way. This is an aside. I would just love it. I would love to speak blessing into people out of my own story that God has been my shepherd all my life to this day. This is the God that we walk with and that we get to bring in blessing to people. So that was the very beginning of in the scriptures, God being seen as a shepherd. When Jacob brought that blessing to his grandsons. And then you take the metaphor to the New Testament, and Jesus, of course, we know this, Jesus saw, Matthew 9, a couple other places, Jesus saw that the crowds, they were people who were sheep without a shepherd. You've heard that phrase? And that actually came from the prophets as well. But look at verse Matthew 9, 35, 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. They were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a good shepherd. They were lost, and struggling, and starving, and not being taken care of, and they didn't know what to do. Again, as an aside, by the way, isn't it beautiful that that's what Jesus saw when he saw the crowds of humanity? His compassion that they were lost without a shepherd. And you remember what Jesus said about himself, right? He said, he used very simple words. He said, I am the good shepherd. This is what I bring. I look out into the world and I see that people are lost, harassed and helpless. It said, like sheep without a shepherd. Man, wouldn't it be incredible? Is that your heart when you look out over the world? Is that your heart when you see the difficulties and the problems in the world? Is that your heart when you watch the news or the internet, get on the internet or get on social media and you watch people are harassed and helpless and they need our compassion. What they need is they need a good shepherd. And that's what Jesus said he came to be. So, in fact, we're going to look at John 10 quite a bit, this idea of Jesus being the good shepherd. So Old Testament, God was the shepherd. New Testament, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. This is what people need. In fact, many Old Testament VIPs, you guys, were shepherds, actually. When you start looking at it, I wrote a note when I started to study for this. I'm like, weren't a bunch of these people shepherds? And then I went and started looking, and this is the list of them. Abel, isn't that like Adam and Eve's son, right? Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, Rachel, Moses, they were all shepherds and they all met God or walked with God as they were shepherds. They were out tending their sheep when in fact they had the God story happening around them. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's crazy talk. Like why all those people were shepherds? And it occurred to me, this is such a significant metaphor that maybe God took the most significant leaders in the people of Israel and said, I need you to learn who I am. And so I need you to be a shepherd like I'm a shepherd. And I need you to learn who you are and who people are, so I need you to get to know sheep really well. And so these guys were all shepherds and hung out with sheep, including David, King David. David was a shepherd. In fact, Samuel was looking for who the Lord was leading him to be the first true king after Saul of Israel, 1 Samuel 16, this is the description. Jesse, that's David's dad, had 7 sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, nope, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse, you know, just minimizing it, was like, no, they're still the youngest, but he's just the shepherd boy out with the sheep. And this was God deciding that he was going to call to the kingdom of Israel a king who was a shepherd, because he understood the heart of a shepherd and he understood what sheep were all about. And so David became the king as a shepherd boy. And I just love the fact that he was the king, but he was not out, he wasn't there vying for power. He wasn't with his brothers. He wasn't trying to figure out how it was that he was going to get position. He was out in the boonies learning about God. That's so good. It occurs to me, by the way, that some of the seasons of our lives, I bet you could probably recall, those of you that are on the older side, you can recall certain seasons of your life where you were like, what was that all about? And then you realize how much you learned about who God was and who you were in that time. This is what shepherds did. I think they learned about God. So David then writes Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd psalm, that we're going to study over these next few weeks. He writes that out of an intimate knowledge of actually being a shepherd and actually knowing sheep. So let's read through it together. I want us to see the whole text once in order. It's really very short psalm. I think it's 6 verses, right? Here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't that great? And some of you, including me, stumbled over the language because we know the King James so well because the poem is so popular, right? But this is the NIV. It's a modern translation. It's a great translation. I did a little work in the Hebrew with it just to look and see like how it's translated. It is a great translation. The King James is actually a great translation as well. And you can put them parallel to each other and get more out of the text, which you can often do with texts. So today, you guys, as we look at just this one phrase and reflect on it in the time that I have left, I just want to look at the Lord is my shepherd from Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. When you study the scriptures, you look at all the words, right? The Lord, we're talking about God, Yahweh. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's the image that the psalm gives and that the whole rest of the scriptures support. So here's what I want to do, guys. I'm going to just look at what do shepherds do and what do sheep do. When we look at shepherds and sheep in the scriptures, so I have a ton of Bible verses for you, shepherds and sheep, but here's, let's look at it. What do shepherds do? And then what do sheep do? First, what do shepherds do? Number one, they fiercely protect the sheep. Some of you, it's taken a while. You see it? I almost didn't use the photo because like that doesn't look like being protected very well. Shepherds, they fiercely protect the sheep. We have this idea that a shepherd is so bucolic, it's so peaceful, it's so lovely. He's out in this green pasture and he's standing there and he's enjoying it. But a shepherd's whole role was to protect the sheep from the dangerous animals that would come and take those things out. And that's primarily what a shepherd does, is he guards against the evil that will come against the sheep. Come on, will that not preach all day long? David, man, he was the boss. When we go to the David Goliath story in 1 Samuel 17, and you see that, and David was like, I'll take on this guy. Let me take on Goliath. And everybody's like, you are a shepherd boy. What are you talking about? This is what David says, 1 Samuel 17. David said to Saul, your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. Like, I know something about being fierce. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Come on. The shepherd is fiercely protective and strong, brings his strength to the table. And when we go to John 10, John 10 is the, I will give you $100 if you memorize John 10. The passage where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. Look at this where he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now pause for a minute. Now you know that's a That's speaking into the future, right? Where he actually goes to the cross for us. But it also is him saying, I am all in with everything, my life to protect you. I will lay down my life for you. That's what people who protect one another do. They go, I'll put myself in harm's way for you. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, of course, what does he do? He abandons the sheep and he runs away and he's all, oh yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I don't own the sheep. I'm not laying down my life. That's not what I'm going to be about. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Verse 13, the man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I will not do that to you. I will not let you be in danger and leave you alone. I will not do that to you, he says. Come on now, does this get you fired up? This is what the shepherd does. This is what a good shepherd does. This is what people of character do for one another. But this is who God has says, this is who I am for you. I will not put you in harm's way and run off because I don't care enough about you. I will never leave you to be attacked by evil. A shepherd fiercely protects his sheep. There's a famous old book written by a guy named Philip Keller called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Any of you old people like me know this book? It's been famous because it's been around forever. It is a classic. And it is written by a South African pastor who was a shepherd as well. And so he knows sheep. And it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. This is what he says about what I just said, laying down our life. The day I bought them, he's talking about the first sheep that he bought. The day I bought them, I also realized that this was the first stage in a long-lasting endeavor in which from then on, I would, as their owner, have to continually lay down my life for them if they were to flourish and prosper. Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us his sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways, as will be seen in further chapters. Our mass mind, our mob instincts, our fears, timidity, our stubbornness, even our relative stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. That's not a very warm, fuzzy view of a sheep, is it? Yet despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us, buys us, calls us by name, makes us his own, and delights in caring for us. He literally lays himself out for us continually. He is ever interceding for us. He's ever guiding us by his gracious spirit. He is ever working on our behalf to ensure that we will benefit from his care. Isn't that good? The shepherd fiercely protects his sheep. What are the implications here, you guys? That he's never going to leave us alone. What is it that you're facing? What struggle are you facing? What enemy are you facing? What is the enemy doing coming after you? What's going on in your journey with him? He's never going to leave you harassed and helpless without hope and without rescue to fend for yourself. He's never going to do that. He will always be with you and between you and the wolf. And this is why scripture says unapologetically, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, so do not worry because the shepherd is protecting you. Man, if we could get our heads this much around that truth, that he says to us, oh, you're being attacked? Oh, there's evil on every side? Oh, you're at risk? I will never abandon you. That's our God. He firstly protects the sheep. Second, what do shepherds do? They tenderly care and provide for the sheep. They tenderly care and provide for the sheep. So while fierceness against evil is there, he's also super tender. A shepherd is super tender with his sheep. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power. There's the power again. And he rules with a mighty arm. There's the fierceness again. Verse 11, but he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. And he gently leads those who have young. In other words, especially the most vulnerable. He's going to take his sheep, and he's going to gather them close and be tender to them and protect them and gently lead them, even the most vulnerable. Even when we're at the most vulnerable, friends, the shepherd gathers us in his arms. Jesus said it this way in John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life." I'm the good shepherd, he says again. I came that you might have life. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And why? Why is this contradiction in here? And what's that? The idea there about the shepherd who tenderly provides care? It's that we are afraid that if we entrust ourselves to the shepherd, that he's going to let us down, that life's going to be hard, that something's going to make it through the defenses, that we're going to end up getting attacked, that we're going to end up missing out on something, that we're going to end up, if we give our control of our lives to the shepherd, that we'll end up not getting life as we would hope that it would come our way, and that we'll get ripped off somehow. This is the core fear of every believer I know when they're super honest. They're like, if I follow Jesus, what if he doesn't bring me to life? What if he doesn't give me what I really want? And Jesus says to that, I'm going to gather you up in my arms, especially you in your most vulnerable spots and needs. I'm going to tell you right now, I will never rip you off. You want to know who rips you off? The enemy. He steals and he kills and he destroys. He brings nothing but death. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's Jesus' promise. This is who he is and what he does. And the implication then is we can surrender in our search for life. We can surrender to the good shepherd who tenderly cares and provides for his sheep. So the shepherd fiercely protects the sheep. The shepherd tenderly cares for his sheep. And the third thing I want to say about this, about the shepherds, is that they relentlessly pursue lost sheep. They relentlessly pursue lost sheep. And I love that thought. This is why Luke 15 is such an important parallel to us, where Jesus tells the story. He told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Remember this story? Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one? And of course, the answer there is that would be stupid. No, he does not do that. He lets the one stupid sheep who wanders off go get eaten and lets evolution take its course. Survival of the fittest. That sheep was stupid. He wandered off. The good shepherd was taking care of him. We need to let him just be eaten and let that gene pool die with him. Because I have 99, and the return on investment to go after the one and leave the 99 is not a wise move. That's not exactly what Jesus said. Jesus told them a parable. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep, loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one till he finds it? Relentlessly search for the one who is lost. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. The shepherd relentlessly pursues the lost sheep. How does a sheep get lost? People have often said, and I think we'll probably hear about it maybe in this book. We'll talk about it in our sermon series. Sheep aren't, they don't go like, you know what? I'm out of here. This shepherd, I don't like him. What they do is they get distracted and they chew on a little piece of grass and it looks really good. And they go, well, that's really good. And they look up and they go, oh, look at that one. And they go over there and they go, that's really good. And they see that one, and they go over here, and they're like, oh, that's really good. And pretty soon they look up, and they have wandered so far from the good shepherd that promised to lead them to fields where their food would be abundant and life would be found. And what the shepherd doesn't do, the implication of this, what the shepherd doesn't do is say, you're so stupid, and I'm so angry at you that I'm going to leave you in your lostness. That's what Jesus' parable is all about. And the context of that parable, by the way, you guys, the very first two verses of that before Jesus tells this parable is this. Verse 15, chapter 15, 1 and 2 says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. This is the introduction to this text. Now see what's happening here. The people got around to see what Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said, he welcomes sinners, broken people, lost people. He welcomes those people. Jesus said, let me tell you a parable about welcoming those people. If one lost sheep wandered off in his own stupidity and brokenness and sinfulness, I will relentlessly pursue him until I find him, and then I will rejoice. I tell you that because, you guys, this isn't about perfect little sheep who maybe made a mistake. No, this is about sinners and people that are far from God. And Jesus tells the parable to say, I will welcome and go after, ready, those that are even the furthest away. Now that gives us some hope for some of the people in our lives that we're longing to know Jesus, doesn't it? But it also should give you hope in your heart that he will never let you wander off, and you can never wander so far that you cannot be found by him. Oh, church, I gotta be done, but you gotta hear this. You can never wander so far away that you cannot be found by the shepherd who relentlessly pursues the lost sheep. And so I'm just giving a pause right now. That might describe some of you sitting in this room right now who have walked away from God for a long time. And I'm telling you right now that he is pursuing you because he loves you. And he wants to bring you into his pasture, into life. So you might as well give up because he's not gonna. Okay, I'm out of time, but I do want to tell you guys this. These are all the things that shepherds do. What do sheep do? I can only think of one thing. As best I can understand it. But one thing sheep do is they listen for his voice. They listen for his voice. This is what the scriptures say. They listen for his voice. Go ahead and put that scripture up there, that next scripture up. Jesus back in John 10, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. You can go parse that and read that later. What he's saying is, I'm actually the true shepherd. I'm not here to steal the sheep, to harm the sheep. I'm the true shepherd. Verse 3, the gatekeeper, and that's God, opens the gate for him, Jesus, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. And verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. What are the implications of this? I mean, actually, the shepherds will tell you that this is true, that that's just how they separate their sheep from other people's sheep. They got them all in a pen and they're about to take them out to pasture. And the shepherd goes out and goes, yo, my sheep, hey, my sheep, follow me. It's time for us to go out. And his sheep have learned to hear his voice, and then they follow him and go out into their pasture. Isn't that incredible? So the implications for us, you guys, is Jesus is our good shepherd, that we can learn to hear his voice, and we must posture ourselves to do so. And then following him into the pasture that he leads us to is the meaning and purpose and plan of our existence. Nothing else. There's one thing that sheep do. They listen for his voice, and then they follow him. That's all they do. They don't do that once a month at church on a Sunday. They don't do that. Like, they go, you're my shepherd. I'm listening. And I'm going to go where you take me. Ben, why don't you guys come out? The question is, church, will I come under the direction and love and management of the shepherd? If this is what it's about, will I come under his love and his management? Will I? Because it's a choice. If he's my shepherd and he's the good shepherd, and I was designed to learn to hear his voice and follow him, will I come under that direction? Another quick quote from this book. Jesus made it clear when he stated emphatically, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Basically, what it amounts to is this. A person exchanges the fickle fortunes of living life by their own whimsy and their own choices and their own control for the more productive and satisfying adventure of being guided by God to life as it was meant to be. It is a tragic truth that many people who really have never come under his direction or management claim, "The Lord is my shepherd." They seem to hope that by merely admitting that he is their shepherd, that somehow they will enjoy the benefits of his care and management without paying the price of forfeiting the control of their own way of living. One cannot have it both ways. Either we belong to him or we do not. It is our heart. It is what we implore you to. It is the invitation to come and listen to his voice and follow him all the days of our lives. And so, church, even as you come to the table, we're going to this morning take the elements. When we do that together, Pastor Ben's going to lead us in a moment. Maybe even today some of you want to settle the issue and say to yourselves, no, say to the Lord, "You are my shepherd, and I will follow you," as you take the elements today. This is such good news. The shepherd is a good shepherd, and we are his sheep, and we will thrive and flourish if we follow him. Pastor Ben, come and lead us to the table.